The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Hey, Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. We're going to try to keep things brief today, Larson. What's in the news?
So let's go back to a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
After winning the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Sakura Genesis, Will Ospreay challenged wrestling's most sought-after free agent, CM Punk, to a match. Now, during an interview with Digital Spy, Punk responded to Ospreay's challenge. This is what Phil had to say, quote, "I don't want to give people false hope in answering Ospreay, but he's for sure somebody that I've never wrestled before that interests me a lot more than, I guess, the corporate side of professional wrestling nowadays. New and different things are going to interest me more than doing the same old. I always need new goals. I don't know." This is the interesting part. "Now, let's see if he has it at the end of the summer and then ask me the question again."
It's my prediction. It was my prediction that he's going to show up at IW All Out.
This makes it seem like he's going to end of summer in New Japan, though.
You know, dude, I know you've been really, to be bullish or bearish? Bearish? Probably bearish, right?
Larry's pessimistic.
I think it's bearish.
I'm exceedingly pessimistic that he's ever going to have a match with WWE. I think there's too many issues potentially to work through to make that happen. Plus, he's always been pretty clear that if he ever comes back, it needs to be something different to interest him from a creative standpoint. So, yes, I've been very pessimistic on his return because it's been 7 years since he had a wrestling match. He's getting, not that he's too old to wrestle, but with each year that passes, it seems less and less likely that he would step back into the ring. So, yes, I've been pessimistic. Far more so, I think, about him going back to WWE as opposed to ever wrestling again. But this is like, this isn't, yeah, I'm returning. This is like the clearest indication that he would even seriously consider having a match with, a particular opponent.
Here's my completely baseless speculation, but a not an ill-educated one. When we were talking about the last time we talked about CM Punk, like last week, when we were talking about when I said that I thought that backstage was like him sort of dipping a little toe back into the world of wrestling. He literally said in an interview with Renee, I'm looking at this as like, could I come back? Like, I forget his exact words, but it was basically like, I'm paraphrasing, saying, hey, well, just that I'm dipping my toe back in just to see. I think he's being very careful, very deliberate. Perhaps the phone call a year and a half ago with Triple H was confirmation that, yeah, WWE is not really something I'm interested in. I think it's possible that he was like, hey, let me just explore possibilities, and WWE, of course, is going to be one of them. And I think that's probably partially what backstage was his appearance on backstage was kind of about. Let's open up some doors, and that was a great way to do it because you're not working for WWE, you're working for Fox. No. But it's sort of in the same way that 2K Games has often been kind of a liaison, if you will, to the WWE without having to deal with them. For other wrestlers, maybe backstage was that. But I mean, he's talked about Kenny Omega being a possibility multiple times. Will Ospreay, now sort of the latest name that's popping up, and Will Ospreay's been part of the thing precipitating that conversation. I do wonder if one of the effects of COVID, of the pandemic, and how that's affected wrestling was perhaps pushing back a potential return for him. I mean, he has said outright just very recently that no fans, I don't want any part of that because that seems horrible. It seems soul sucking again, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the, you know, what he basically was indicating, that I don't want to do it if there's no fans there. And, you know, with WWE having doling out those huge money contracts pre-pandemic, them trying to snap up, you know, talent pre-pandemic, throwing huge money, I think maybe he was thinking, okay, this might be an opportunity to really cash in, to come back on my terms. With pandemic, things changed a lot. He's also been able to see exactly what AEW is doing, which I think was probably of interest to him as well. And now that the world of wrestling has really sort of opened wide up here in North America on the non-WWE side of things, some of that might look pretty appealing to him. You know, if the money's right and if the opponent is right, if the creative is right, he's always been pretty open in saying, if all those things are aligned, which obviously is easier said than done, if all those things are aligned, it seems like he'd come back.
He'd consider it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of considering it is doing it. And so if the stars align late summer, fans are back, it's possible, you know.
Well, let's talk about fans being back. That seems like a perfect segue for this next story here. On the latest episode of his podcast, good old JR, Jim Ross, let it be known that AEW is going to be returning to the road as soon as this summer. Now, these transcripts are from Fightful. That's what he had to say. Quote, we're getting our schedule together. Looks like we're going back on the road pretty aggressively beginning in July. Getting back in front of a live audience is a blessing. I can't wait. It will only help everybody's work. You can't help but feed off the adrenaline of the people and the audience surrounding you. Should be cool.
All right, man. July. Mark it down, Larson. Get our plane tickets now.
Oh, I'm not getting on a plane.
Hey, you know, have you done research into like the air circulation on a plane? Apparently it's better than something else. I forget. It was comparing.
Yeah,
it to
that being
else.
Said, I'm no hurry to get back on a plane anytime soon.
I know. I don't really want to get on a plane anytime soon either. I'm giving you the needle. Yeah, I mean, you know, but for AEW, hey, if they're looking to do that, if they feel safe doing that, if people feel safe going, then
I wonder if it'll be any sort of capacity limits, whether they'd focus, you know, especially during the summer months, on outdoor venues as opposed to indoor ones.
Taco festivals, man. Hey, dude, if AEW came to a taco festival downtown in Sacramento, we'd go, right?
Yeah, you'd have to consider that.
We'd have to consider that. We'd get a merch table there. We could set up a merch table
at that point. Yeah, we'd both be, you know, we'd have a vaccine.
Exactly.
You know, if we're going to be super safe, operate with an abundance of caution, still mask up. It's outdoors.
Yeah, maybe. I want to eat those tacos. That's what I want to do. Yeah, of course you mask up. Absolutely. You know what else? Be cool. Television. New Japan. Let's talk about this. On the heels of MLW's announcement that they've struck a deal with... my first shot is throwing me for a loop, man. I'm
telling you, that's what it does. That first day, I was kind of foggy.
I'm going to milk this for everything. On the heels of MLW's announcement that they've struck a deal with Vice TV... Oh, by the way, there's some news for you. MLW struck a deal with Vice TV to make that channel their TV home this spring. PW Insider is reporting that, quote, sources at Vice TV have noted that New Japan Pro Wrestling was offered a deal similar to what MLW has come to terms for with the cable network, but it turned it down last year. New Japan has had discussions with a number of broadcast and streaming platforms in recent months. Of course, they inked the deal with Roku to get a streaming channel. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is great for MLW getting on Vice. Yeah. I don't have Vice, so I hope they stay on YouTube.
You need to double check that, because I do. And we both have Xfinity.
I checked on my the digital side, the streaming thing. I sound like Braun there. And I couldn't find the channel anywhere.
Look on your actual TV. Look through the actual box.
Like on the box.
I don't know if some. Yeah, talk to Box.
Hello, Box.
Box, show me Vice TV.
Right? Yeah, we'll see about
and
that.
And see if it's on there. I mean, I, there shouldn't be a difference between the streaming, what's on the Xfinity
channels.
Go app, whatever it's called, and what's on the Box itself. But I have Vice.
I'm hoping that...
You should have Vice, too.
I'm hoping that they'll just keep Fusion on YouTube, at least. because I check out MLW from time to time. It's one that's like the next thing on my sort of checklist of, okay, what else do I need to be checking out in the world of wrestling? Because I think they've got some cool stuff over there. Jacob Fatu is a terrific champion.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
What's that dude's name? Hammerstone? He seems cool.
Yeah.
Contra. See, I know I can speak MLW. They need a women's division. Anyways, you know what I've always been curious about, Larson? How many people actually attended WrestleMania? So every year, WWE will give their own version of how many people they think attended WrestleMania, but then we get the real numbers through various means. What happened this year at WrestleMania 37?
So this is what from WrestleNomics. They're reporting the following numbers. Quote, WrestleMania earlier this month drew 40,806 individual ticket sales, generating $6.2 million for the two-day event. The first night was attended by 18,328 people, and the second night by 18,924. According to records obtained through a request to the Tampa Sports Authority, the entity that manages the stadium. So both nights, WWE announced attendance at over 25,000. I think they were the same exact numbers both nights.
That sounds right. So lazy. Come on, if you're gonna skew the numbers, just try to put an ounce of effort into skewing them.
Yeah. So
one way or the other.
This is what WrestleNomics has to say. Each night they announced 25,675 as the attendance. The actual tickets sold Saturday. Sold 20,172, Sunday 20,634, and then as mentioned earlier, first night the actual attendance was 18,328, and the second night 18,924.
Well, there you go. You know, man, I know we're living in tough times right now, but like I really appreciated the energy that the fans brought to the proceedings, and I'm looking forward to seeing fans back at wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Speaking of wrestling shows, there's a wrestling show on tonight. It's called NFT. First up, Kyle O'Reilly returns to NFT this Tuesday night to declare this is my NFT.
Yeah. Saray set to debut Tuesday night on NFT.
Kushida, the current cruiserweight champion, is set for his championship celebration tonight on non-fungible token.
He also tweeted out that he might do an open challenge tonight. So,
ooh, that's fun.
But it wasn't a part of the official preview, so I'll just mention it there. Finally, Dexter Lumis looks to avenge Gauntlet Eliminator defeat against LA Knight again on tonight's NFT.
Non-fungible token. Awesome. That's cool, man. Yeah, that should be fun. We're going to review that tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. So that should be a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll join us on the Twitch live for that. And, of course, it shows up on VOD, on YouTube right afterwards, and of course wherever podcasts can be found. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We definitely appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Help support Going In Raw today by becoming a Friendo Club TV member. You'll get access to new bonus episodes every week, including Friendo Club Arcade, Live Power Rank, Vintage 10 for the Wins, and Ask Steven Larson. Get access to Friendo Club TV today by becoming a $5 and up patron at patreon.com/Steven Larson, by throwing us a sub at twitch.tv/Steven Larson, or by clicking join at youtube.com/Steven Larson.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, Whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.